This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host for this podcast, and we have a very special guest, Jamie Smith. Welcome.
Hello.
Well, many of our listeners will know Jamie from just her great music and worship leading and connections just here in Oklahoma and across the U.S. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so many people know the song Your Love is Deep, and we want to talk about that here right from the get-go. This is a banner year for that song. Tell us all about that, Jamie.
Well, as you know, time passes quickly.
Yes.
And wasn't too long ago that I realized, oh my gosh, Your Love is Deep is 20 years old.
Wow.
In 2022. So we actually recorded it, a live version of it, in 2001 at OBU. We did this live night of worship in the fall of 2001. But technically, like a studio version, a recorded version of it, did not come out until the following year, which on a CD called Wash Over Me. It's 20, 21 years old, right around in there, as far as being recorded, which is just crazy to think about.
Well, and you think about a song like this that it sticks in, that it resonates with people. Mm-hmm. You know, tell us kind of the story behind that song, if you would.
So it's kind of crazy. Summer of 1998, I was leading worship at Mary Hardin Baylor, mm-hmm. which is an awesome school down in Central Texas. And a friend of mine, Clint Pascal, and his wife, Tanya, I had gone to OBU with them. And he's a youth minister at a church in Houston at this point called Bear Creek Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing the camp. In the camp, there's just something amazing going on at this camp. It seems like every night that we are just savoring mm-hmm. the presence of God. You know, as Baptists, we think we can't go off the bulletin or the program. But I just remember these nights of extended times of worship. And nobody minded that we might be going 45 minutes to an hour in worship, even before the guy got up to speak. It just was really something amazing was going on. The Holy Spirit was moving. And I as I think back, I feel like savor is the word. Like we were just savoring his presence. Anyway, so as most camps do, even False Creek does, at the end of the night, you have your youth group devotional. And so my friends, Clint and Tanya, invited me to come in and listen to their worship time. And Clint was going to teach. And so I came in and I stood in the back of the room. And when I came in, there was a girl up front, maybe, you know, a teenager, and a guy playing the guitar next to her. And they were singing this first part of Your Love is Deep.
Hmm.
So a lot of people think I wrote it by myself, but I wrote it with these other two people. So I walk in and I hear them singing that first section. And I was instantly captivated by it, knowing that it was scripture. It's from Ephesians 3:18, where Paul is saying the love of God is deep and high and long and wide. And so it was real simple, but really profound all at the same time. And like we all know, the melody was so good. I thought, oh, what a great way to implant scripture into the hearts of our students with such a great melody that it's hard to forget.
Wow.
So I stood back there and I listened, and I think it's so funny that I had no idea in that very moment how that song was going to affect the rest of my life. Hmm. I was just standing there going, that's a good song. So they had written the first two sections, mm-hmm. which is, says your love is deep. And then section two is deeper than my view of grace, higher than this worldly place, longer than this road I travel, and wider than the gap you filled. And then that was all they had. And I always felt like the song wasn't finished. It was just those two sections. But that's what they had, and that's what they shared that night. This is before smartphones. I couldn't record it.
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote down the lyrics and shoved it in the pocket of my jeans and thought, I'm going to try to finish that song. So met them, talked to them, told them what a great song idea I thought they had. And then we went our separate ways. And it's funny, I've never been in the same room with them again.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And that was, it was 1998. Yeah. So 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
So remembered the melody, of course, in my brain and in my heart, but ended up shoving that piece of paper just in the top drawer of a desk. And a couple of years go by, about 3 years go by. And then I find it one day and I was like, oh, I need to finish this song.
Yeah.
So I wrote the third section, which asked the question, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from your love? And then I answered, nothing can. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from your love. Obviously, stealing Paul's words straight from Romans.
Yeah.
Because anytime you can plagiarize the Bible,
the
Bible.
Yeah.
Because it helps students realize they're memorizing God's word. Sometimes they don't even know it. They just like the song.
Yeah.
You know? So wrote that part and thought, I like that. So I started doing it live. And it was so fun to watch people react immediately to the song.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So I kept putting it in our set lists everywhere we traveled. And we went everywhere.
Yeah.
United States, we went overseas 3 different times. And just watching people respond. So I knew that when it was time to do the live album called Home that David Crowder actually produced, I knew it was going to be an easy sell to go. When I sat down with David and we were kicking through all the songs, this song, people immediately respond to live. We have to put this on the record. And he'd never heard of it either, obviously. But immediately he was like, oh yeah, that will definitely be on the song. And I can hear, you know, moments where you're going to come off the mic and the crowd can come in and we can really hear everybody, you know, resonating with these words. So that's kind of the inception of the song. Isn't that crazy?
That is so cool. And I love how you recognize that this is resonating, that this is making an impact on people. Jamie, something, you know, and I know there's a lot of musicians in the world, but something we admire about you is that you lead people toward worship of God. And we just noticed that about you. Has that always tried to be at the forefront of what you do? Why has that been so key for you?
Indeed. Well, real early on, I realized that if I gave the people me, then I would cheat them. Because I can't do anything for them, right? They could have an experience with me for a night. They could like the music. They might even like me, but what good would that do? They just go home the same way they came in. You know what I mean? So the Holy Spirit really impressed that on me from the beginning, and thank you, God, for that, because it was just a real strong understanding that if I point people to Jesus, I give them everything they need. If I point people to me, they're just as lost as how they came in. And then God just continued to solidify that in my heart. When I would get up in front of people, he would say things like, see that girl in the fourth row, you know, 3 over, I love her. See that kid in the back, he's going through a lot. You know, I don't know what they're going through. But just even leading a song, sometimes looking at people's faces and just in the middle of the song, asking the Holy Spirit to move, because it's not about me. It's about how God feels about his children and how he wants to stir their hearts to him and have them know that he loves them. He's for them and not against them. You know,
Amen.
So much of my ministry started out with students, you know, with teenagers.
Yeah.
And that's such a tough time in life. There's so much angst and struggle and figuring out who you are. And I really wanted to speak into that and say, this is who God is. And he's crazy about you. And here's how I know. He demonstrated his love for you that while you were yet sinner, he died for you. You know, so yeah. Can't give the people me. I can't do anything for them.
Well, that's a good word. Wow. So you mentioned scripture a minute ago, and you know, as we see you lead events, it seems like you're very intentional at memorizing scripture and being, you know, abiding with God in the scripture. How important has that been in your life and in your faith walk with Christ?
There have been moments where I feel like, and this sounds dramatic, but as a believer, you know what I'm saying, where I have opened God's word and it was so much what I needed for that moment. that emotionally, I feel like it just saved my life. Like in that moment, I remember just having a real strong experience with Psalm 63 and also with Psalm 16. And just like whatever I was going through in my life with relationships and struggles and different things or feeling lonely. And I spent a lot of time on the road leading worship, and God had given me so many dates to go and play and do that I felt like my personal life was kind of like on hold, if you will, and just lonely and struggling. So yes, God's word in those moments was life-giving. And so then I'd say probably 10, 15 years ago, I maybe reached a place in my years of leading worship where I felt like what I was saying in between songs was maybe just more about me or just not helpful. And I thought, well, what better thing can I do than just say God's word? And so I began memorizing, you know, just little portions of scripture to say in between songs to help students and women's retreats that I might be leading or conferences to say the very best thing we can do with our heart and our mind is meditate on God's word. And that whole toothpaste analogy, you know, when life squeezes down, what's going to squirt out? Like, what's going to come out of me? Is it going to be God's word, or is it going to be my anger or my bitterness? And I would rather it be God's word,
100%,
right?
Yeah.
So I just tried to start memorizing stuff that I could hopefully challenge others to do. And I think, too, because I feel like we're so biblically illiterate, even though it's on our phones and we have probably 5 or 6 copies in our house and it's in songs. But even as much as I try to get in the word, and it may happen to you too, Brian, I'll read something and go, what? I have never, I feel like I have never read that. Or I probably did, but at this season in my life, it means something totally different.
It hits brand new.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just fascinated with God's word and how it's alive.
Living and active.
Yes, how it speaks to us in our situations.
Jamie, I experienced just the other day, too, what you said with scripture and then a song. There was, at a moment of discouragement, just the right song has come along. What I know it's like picking a favorite kid, but what are some of your other songs that you've been part of that have come to mean a lot to you or your family or your friends and your fans? What are some that stick out?
On this same CD, Wash Over Me, that has Your Love Is Deep on it, there's a song called Find a World. And it is the last cut on the album. And it's the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always. That's like the King James.
Yes.
So my brother Ryan was a missionary in Turkey for 4 years. He's my younger brother.
Okay.
And he went with International Mission Board in the late 90s, early 2000s. And while he was there, he and two Turkish believers, which there's not a lot of Turkish believers, they went for a swim in the Black Sea, and they were on a retreat. And I'll try and make the story shorter, but basically, what happened, they got caught in a riptide, and the current kept pulling them further and further out to sea. And this was maybe in about the third, almost the fourth year that he was there. And it was bad. It was a bad deal.
Wow.
I mean, nobody knew they were out there. They didn't tell anybody they were going swimming. It was just a bad situation. And the current was so strong, they got separated. There was three of them, told them, my brother and two others. They got separated, so my brother can no longer see them, and my brother said he was done. I mean, he was done fighting. He felt like his friends were already gone, and he said he prayed, God, if I'm about to die, and he really, really thought he was, would you help my family back home? No. And specifically our mom, who was kind of against him going to Turkey in the beginning, but ended up just loving that he was there sharing the gospel. He prayed, God, just let them remember that I came here because of the Great Commission.
Wow.
Because of what you told me to do. And that I died doing that and helped them. Like, he was already praying for us not to be bitter or angry. And he said he sunk down and he felt his feet hit like a sandbar or something. And to this day, he's not sure if it was supernatural mm-hmm. or if it really was. Mm-hmm. And he felt his feet hit it. And so he said he rested for a moment and he thought, I'm going to keep fighting. So he swam back up to the top, took a deep breath and kept treading and treading water and fighting. And when he did, someone was there.
Wow.
They had figured out what had happened and they'd gotten a boat and a life preserver and they threw him the life preserver and he survived.
Wow. Wow.
His two friends did not.
Mm.
They drowned. So it was very, very sad. And lots of questions like, why, Lord, when there's so few Turkish believers, would you take two of them? You know, when he would talk about how as an American Christian, he could make an influence in Turkey, but as a Turkish believer, mm-hmm. because they can speak to their brothers and sisters in a different way because they're from the country. Like, just all these questions, why God and why would this happen? And anyway, so the message finally gets to me through an email of what happened to him. And I just immediately, which sometimes as songwriters, that's what you do. You can't process all the information, but you can write a song. It's the craziest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I picked up my guitar and wrote the song in like 15 minutes. And that's another one of those crazy things where it's like, sometimes you labor over a song and you get it eventually and it's great. But sometimes there's just this gift. It's like the song already exists.
Wow.
And you're the one that's just privy to hear it for the first time, if that makes mm-hmm, any sense. Mm-hmm. And you're frantically trying to either record it or write it down because it's all just being downloaded into your heart and in your head. That's how Find a World was for me.
Wow.
And it was just my way of processing what he had gone through.
Yeah.
And the lyrics just say, go and find a world where my name, and it's from the perspective that Jesus is saying it to Brian and Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go and find a world where my name has never been said and say it there. Let it ring like a song, ring like a song. Go and find a world where my word has never been said and say it there. Let truth fall like the rain, fall like the rain. And then the chorus is, and I am with you always. I am with you always for all this life and even in death. I am with you always.
Wow.
And that's what came out of me when I heard about his near-death experience and the death of his Turkish friends.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Jamie, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, just like music, the language of the heart, I mean, it speaks. So I'll mention two words and want to kind of get your thoughts on what all it's meant to you through your life as Falls Creek. You know, we can't go a podcast without mentioning Falls Creek and Jamie Smith. Talk about some memories or the meaning or anything in and around Falls Creek, if you would.
Well, first I have to share that I got to go to Falls Creek before I was even old enough because my mom would go every year as a counselor and a cook and just a helper, you know, with my church. And so she'd drag me along. So I think from like third grade on, I was going, and I'd go over to the children's camp area that they used to have. But then, you know, when I was old enough to go, of course, I loved it. Loved it, loved it. Singing in the choir with Bill Green.
Oh, yeah, Bill.
I mean, I lived for that. And my mom, she was a singer, too. And so we couldn't wait for choir. Like, what song were we going to learn this year? In fact, recently, I sang at a funeral, and at the end of the funeral, this choir did the majesty and glory of his name.
Hmm.
And that was a song that we used to always do. And I could see Bill Green directing it. I could see his face, like, just glowing in worship of God. You know, I get emotional thinking about it. And I just bawled my eyes out all through the song, like thinking about my mom standing next to me singing it because she's in heaven now.
Wow.
And just all the memories. But I was 16 when I surrendered to the ministry at Falls Creek. And I remember that like it was yesterday. That was such a big deal. God just was like, I've given you a talent, and if you use it for you, basically, you have your reward in full, you know? But if you use it for me, there's no telling what, obviously, what God can do if we give all that we are to him. So that was, so Falls Creek is, and then obviously, James Lankford booking me several years to do it. And I did it as recently as 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was just so honored. And the 100-year anniversary.
Oh, that was,
I was
a great
so honored
weekend.
Gosh. So, yes, Falls Creek is ginormous in my heart. And guess what? My daughter is going.
Amen.
For the first time, she's old enough this year. And our church is going the first week.
I love it.
Can't wait. Can't
Praise
wait for
God.
Her to experience it.
Awesome. Well, Jamie Smith, it's a privilege to interview you like this and just have a conversation about all that God's done. And, you know, if it's okay, I know we have your guitar here. We would love to hear Your Love is Deep just to finish the episode here. And thank you again.
Yes, sir. Okay. I don't know that this guitar is in the best tune ever. So small disclaimer for you incredible musicians who are like, Jamie, tune your guitar. So I did the best I could. Your love is deep. Your love is high. Your love is long. Your love is wide. Your love is deep. Your love is high. And your love is long. Your love is wide. Your love is deeper than my view of grace. Higher than this worldly place. Longer than this road I travel. Wider than the gap you filled. Deeper than my view of grace. Higher than this worldly place. Longer than this road I travel. Wider than the gap you filled. And your love is deep. Your love is high. Your love is long. Your love is wide. Jesus, nothing can separate us from your love. 'Cause your love is deep. Your love is high. Oh, your love is long. Your love is wide. Yeah, yeah, your love is deep. Your love is high. Is deep. Your love is high. Oh, your love is long. Your love is wide. Your love is deep.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
I wanted to share with anybody who's listening to this podcast that we are, in honor of 20 years, going to do a mini tour this fall around Oklahoma. And any churches in Oklahoma who would like to book us for a Sunday night is kind of what we're promoting. Just Sunday nights in your church, whether you meet on Sunday night or not, we found that it works in both situations. But we would love to come and lead church-wide. Our desire is to do old songs, but of course, new songs, current songs, and just all along the way, scripture and reminders of why we worship.
Amen.
What is worship? Why do we do this? Why do we do this crazy thing called singing all the time when we get together, and how that's biblically based?
I love that. So, Jamie, should they go to your website to maybe get in touch with you all, or what would be the best?
Yes, you could go to my website. You can just email me, jamie@jamiesmith.com, and that's J-A-M-I.
Great.
Yep.
Well, Jamie Smith, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you
really
so
enjoyed
much.
It. God
I
bless
did
you.
Too.
And we're looking forward to following the tour. Go to BaptistMessenger.com and we'll be following the tour as it goes. Thanks again, Jamie.
Thank you.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptist. Visit us at BaptistMessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptist, advancing the gospel together.